This is Phil Farron.
And I am driving home. I'm actually in the car with my beloved wife today. Say hello, beloved wife.
Hello.
Hello. It is actually Saturday because my major client was closed for the week. And so I did not go into work all this week, which is pretty wonderful. Except as a consultant, if you don't go into work, you don't have any billable hours. But that's okay. Took the week off and really had a great, great week. And so since I didn't go in there, then I've been wondering, well, when am I going to do this? And we just had a lovely evening with some friends, went out and saw Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. So that was fun. And then we went out to eat with friends. And I'm in the process of getting back home now. And actually, we're on the south end of town, bouncing through a parking lot, trying to figure out how to get back on the road. So there may be some pauses while I try to figure out where to go. I did have to take a couple of Redbox movies back, and I just ducked into a McDonald's, and thankfully my beloved was watching, because when I made a left turn a little earlier, I almost made a left turn right into an SUV. But we survived that close encounter with death, and then we were okay. So, anyways, we did have a great Christmas, as I mentioned last week. My son-in-law and daughter and granddaughter actually went up to Wisconsin for Christmas, and so they weren't with us for Christmas, and Lynette, my wife's parents, took off for Oklahoma for Christmas, and so it was just us-ins and my parents here, and so we decided that we would just have a quick meal. We first thought we would go get a meal at a restaurant somewhere, and then we quickly discovered that was not going to work because there were no restaurants that we could find that were open. So we ended up just getting some lasagna and threw a salad together, went over to my mom and dad's. We ate on paper and paper plates, plastic. We just pitched it all after we were done. And then Lynette and I just went ahead and took off for Branson. Lynette had found a really good deal on a timeshare, and so we just rented that for a couple of nights, and we just had a wonderful time, didn't we, beloved?
We did.
We got down there Sunday night. It was a lovely place, and we had brought groceries with us, and we just opened our little presents to each other, and then we watched a bunch of TV, and we went to bed, and we got up on Monday, and we had food, and we had TV, and we just lounged around all day on Monday. So that was kind of fun. As you can hear, and then we came back up, and then the kids were back in town, and we played some games, and we just had a really, really nice week. And I have my garage somewhat cleaned out now. That was my job on Wednesday. I went ahead and broke down all the, 50, 60 boxes, empty boxes that had accumulated in the garage, because part of our TV watching while I was gone was we watched the program Hoarders. And wow, you watch that program for a while, you get back to your house and go, okay, I'm cleaning some of this stuff up. So that was my job Wednesday. I kind of, slept in on Wednesday, and I had a few little errands to run, but once I got home, then I got out in the garage and started breaking down boxes. And I can actually walk completely around my car now when it's parked in the garage, which is pretty cool. And then Thursday, what did I do Thursday? Oh, no, Wednesday the kids came over. Thursday I broke everything. Yeah, Wednesday the kids came over, we played games. Thursday I broke down the boxes. Friday I took all the boxes to the recycling place, and so I have one last room that I need to get tidied up a little bit at the house, which is our mechanical room. I need to do a little work on that tomorrow. will be that. So it's been a good week. It's been a very relaxing week. I'll be going back in on Monday to start work again and trying to get some projects finished up there. And so it's really been nice to be off. It's as always, when you take this long off for work on Monday, I'm anticipating I'm going to be a little bit sluggish and thinking about all the things I could be doing at home instead of the things that I could be doing at work. But hopefully we'll get back on track pretty quickly. Just before I left, we had a demo with a bunch of department heads of the new project I'm working on. That seemed to go well. I think the second week after I get back, there's going to be another demo with a bunch of other department heads. So I need to get ramped up, get ready for that. So it will be a full week getting that done and getting ready. And then we'll see what the next project is that comes along. Who can say? So I do have one extra little reporting project. It looks like it's shaping up, so I'll probably be working on that. Anyway, said all that to say, all is well, all goes well. I came across a couple of different things that I'll probably be doing. Now, just a second. Oh, wait, I need to be in the other left-hand line. Okay. They've changed this interchange. We're actually way down at the south end of town, and they've put in a flyover here, whereas before it used to be a clover leaf. So, yes, we want to go north 65. I think we're good now. Now I know all the turns I'm supposed to take once we get on this. There's a couple of things that I wanted to do podcasts on, and probably the next couple of weeks we'll be talking about them. One was a program on Nova called The Botany of Desire. Botany of Desire. I think that's what it's called. It's fascinating stuff. Talking about the apple and the tulip and marijuana and the potato. And I just caught a portion of it and recorded it and watched it back. And it was really, really very interesting. It had some interesting things to say about our culture and the impact of certain plants on our culture. That was pretty interesting. So we'll do one on that in the coming days. And I just stumbled across an article on silence or the bliss of silence, something. It was an op-ed piece about how people, now that we have managed to get all plugged in and we know that Aunt Susie, what she's making for dinner on Facebook and all that sort of stuff, now that we've gotten all plugged in, now the big thing is people unplugging and people getting away from the internet. And I thought that had some interesting ramifications, so I bookmarked that. And possibly in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about that a little bit. But I thought for today, since it is December the 31st, 2011, which hardly seems possible, that it is going to be 2012 tomorrow, I thought for today, I'd just kind of look back over 2011 and just kind of recount some of the important things that I think I have learned in 2011 through some of the experiences that I've had in 2011. Because a year ago at this time, I was ramping up to start selling the FameWorks stamp. I had been working on it for 9 months. I had gone through all the design, got that all taken care of. I had, commissioned to have the actual form made, the injection molding made. I had put together the website, I designed the boxes, yada, yada. I had them all sitting in my garage, or sitting in my office basement. And we were going into going this grand thing, and I was just going to sell a whole bunch of them. And I learned a lot of really important things about the internet and about marketing and about selling a product in those first 3 months of the year. One of the really important things that I learned was that the internet was not what I always thought it was. Because whenever you hear people talking about the internet, you hear them talking about how people browse the internet. But that's not really what they're doing at all. And I've used this example probably in one of these podcasts at some point, but I'm going to repeat it again here because it's important to have an understanding of what the internet is if you're ever considering marketing your own product of any kind. And that is, people do not browse the internet. It's like the internet is this giant Walmart supercenter that's filled floor to ceiling with tiny shelves, and on every shelf there are thousands and thousands of little flash drives, and there are no lights at all on in the store. It's completely black. And in fact, you really don't have any way of even getting through the door to get into the store. That's what the internet really is like. All there is one window with a little microphone, and you walk up to it and you say, I would like to know something about, you know, whatever, Phil Ferrand. And once you say that, a little robot goes out into the store and at its discretion picks out 10 little flash drives that have something to do with Phil Ferrand, and it brings them back to the window. And it shows you those 10 flash drives out of however many hundreds of thousands of results there might be. And it says, which one would you like to look at? And the crucial thing to understand about the internet is that 40 to 50% of people, depending on which survey you look at, are going to take the first result, and that's all they're going to look at. They're just going to click on that and go. What that means is, if you aren't in the top 10 results, when people search for whatever they're going to search for, you might as well not even be on the internet. Because if you aren't in those top 10 results, you are not going to get seen. And that really changes the whole dynamic of how you market on the internet. You really have to design everything for that. And I really did not understand that at all. So, as you can imagine, the VeinWorks stand was not a roaring success. I still have quite a few of them in my basement. And frankly, by Monday morning, I suspect I'm going to drop the price on them and just see if I can generate a little more interest by dropping the price. I have been selling them here and there all year long, without really doing any additional marketing. I mean, once I kind of figured out how the internet worked and the amount of effort it was going to take in order to sell things on the internet and perhaps claw my way up to the top, yeah, you know, I have other ways to spend my time than that. So one of the really important things I felt like I learned this year, at the beginning of the year, was what is the internet like and how do you actually work within the internet? And I have a much better and clearer picture, and I've actually been able to help a couple of people who've had products that they want to sell, and I just say, okay, here's what you need to do. No. And I give them the 10-minute version of all of that, and they've all nodded and gone, oh, I understand. Which it would have been, you know, really nice if someone could have done that for me when I was getting started early on, but that's okay. You know, I had some people kind of give me an indication of those things, but they really didn't express it in a way that, okay, we're not going down there. There's a policeman. Oh, wow. I'm glad I saw that. There's the fly. Wow. Wow. 44 is completely backed up.
Look over here.
Yeah, good night. It is backed up and back. There must have been some kind of a mage or something happened down there. Okay.
Wow, all kinds of emergency vehicles.
Well, thank you, Jesus, that the police were kind enough to block off that ramp. Otherwise, I would have been on that ramp and we would have been out for a while. I can either get off here
or... This is closer.
Okay.
Because 65 was out so far.
Okay. So we're going to go here, and where I'm going to be taking directions from my wife as we go here, because she's familiar with all the back roads this way and I am not. So that was really interesting, learning that. And it took me probably the first 3 months of the year to kind of get to that point where, you know, I figured that out, got that under control. Then I did branch off, and I was working on a little app for Windows Phone, and I did that for a couple of more months, and built an app, but honestly, the same thing, now that we're going straight here for a while,
okay. As far as we can.
The same thing applies with the apps as applies with products. I mean, unless you're willing to get in and do it and do it and dig and dig and market and market and market and market and market and market. I mean, it's just, there are lots and lots and lots of other people that are trying to do exactly the same thing. And so that gets us about to mid-year. And one of the cool things that happened this year is that I finally had to take a hard look at why I was doing, you know, all these different things, like trying to sell the stand or trying to do apps. And it really came down to me trying to figure out, how am I going to retire early so I can get back to writing? And in discussions with one of my buddies, he observed something for him, and he observed it multiple times before I finally had to admit that he was right, which was another thing I learned this year, is... he kept asking me, why aren't you writing? And I would say, well, because, you know, I'm trying to figure out if I can get this stuff done. Slow down. Okay. I was saying, well, if I can get this stuff done, then maybe I can get back to writing full time, then blah, 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 blah. And he would say, well, but the thing about it is whenever you talk about writing, you just light up. And you can talk about writing and talk about writing, but you need to be doing writing. You just need to be writing. And I knew he was right, but it took me a little while to get to the place where I said, yeah, you're right. And so about mid-year, I finally decided, you know what? He's right. I just need to be writing. Because I had started to figure out that the potential of me writing and actually making a living at it was pretty slim. But I really, really do love writing. And so if I was going to make a commitment to write and just write, as opposed to trying to make more money so that I could get retired early, making a write here?
Yes.
Okay. Then what that would mean is that I might not be retiring early. I might be working longer and writing part-time longer. But I really do love writing. And so it's taken me, you know, it had taken me almost a year, 15 months to kind of get around to it. But I finally got back to the place where I affirmed again that, yes, I really do want to be writing. But in addition to that, because I had done this work with the internet, because I had done this work trying to get people to buy the little app that I had written, it convinced me again that the chance of my writing reaching a large audience was very slim. And so the purpose of my writing now is not necessarily to reach a large audience. Just a second, someone. Come in. There is someone coming. The purpose of my writing is not necessarily to reach a large audience. The purpose of my writing is to reach the few. And once I know, and once I make the mental acquiescence that I'm not trying to reach hundreds of thousands of people. I'm not trying to reach thousands of people. Maybe I'm just trying to reach 100, and maybe I'm really just trying to reach a lot less. Then that sort of relieves me of the financial pressure or the dream of ever thinking that the writing is going to support me. That what I need to do is figure out how to support myself through my work and then just make time and come home and write. And so I think that was a good thing to come to. And that sort of brings us up to mid-year-ish when I decided, okay, yeah, I just need to write. But the other thing that was a really good thing to come to out of the whole internet stuff was that I realized that the whole drive of the internet, and now we're on H. So now I know where I am. Yay. Thank you. Thank you. The whole drive of the internet stuff, once you understand how the internet works, you realize that the key is you have to know what customers want and then get in that niche. And why that was important for me to learn with my writing is that up to that point, how I'd been doing my writing is I will write what I want to write. So I have all these series of books in my head, and I'm just going to write one book from each series. And then I'll come back and write the second book from each series. People don't like that. They don't like that at all. They like to finish a series. And so when I did go back into writing, then I decided what I was going to do is that instead of doing it that way, which is not the way people like it, I would actually go back, pick a series, and complete the whole series. Because that gets people involved in your work more, and it gets them interested in your work more. And so that's what I decided to do. And since Grumpy Old Prophets was the easiest series to write, because it's the shortest, then I started working on Grumpy Old Prophets. And I went and I dressed up the first book quickly, and then I started and I actually got parts 2 and part 3, which are book 2, finished. And we're getting ready to go into beta on that. I was thinking I'd be in beta before now, but with the Christmas holidays, everything slows down. And then I'm actually working, as I've mentioned, on book 3, which is actually part 4. And I feel like that's the right track to be on now. So I feel like I've learned a lot of really good things this year about the internet and about relating to customers and about where I'm supposed to be in terms of my writing, how I'm supposed to go about it. I feel like there's been a lot of really good concrete things I've learned there. In addition to that, though, my writing has taught me what I feel like is a really important and profound thing just about everyday life and about relationships. And that is the core idea of parts 2 and part 3 of Grumpy Old Prophets is the idea of wanting versus waiting. And I've mentioned this before on the podcast, but it's important enough, and it is really what I feel like is one of the more important things that I've learned this year, that all of us, as we move through life in our relationships, we have two ways to approach any relationship. We can approach a relationship through a position of want. What do I get out of this? How are people supposed to act around me so that they live up to my expectations, so that they live up to the qualifications that I have in order to acknowledge someone as a friend or as a spouse or as, you know, a child or whatever? What am I expecting out of people and what am I demanding of people? And if they don't live up to my demands and my wants, how am I going to react? And most of the time for people is they react badly. So that if you don't fulfill what a person wants, then there's some kind of rejection that's involved. That's one way to order your relationships. That as you approach, you're simply saying, I want this from you, and if you get this for me, then I'll love you. But I think there's a much better way to relate to others, and that's from a position of waiting. And the idea of waiting is to simply allow a person to be who they are. But then being aware of who the person is that you get from waiting on the person, and then taking waiting to the idea of being a waiter or a waitress, and then out of an understanding of who the person is, serving the person. Say, what can I do to assist you now? And allowing the individual person to be whatever or whoever they want to be. And then within that, then looking for whatever opportunities there might be to assist that person who has made that decision of their free will. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't put up your hand and say, you know, here's something that you might want to think about. Here's something that I think would be a benefit to you. But it also means that my love for a person I'm in a relationship with is not dictated by them fulfilling my wants. Let me give you an example. One of my buddies that I get together with on a very regular basis has been through a divorce this last year. And he has some really amazing stories about good Christian people that when they found out he was going through a divorce, they just took it upon themselves that they needed to come and tell him that he was off track and that he needed to get back on track, and were quite harsh with him about the fact that, you know, what he was doing was wrong and blah, 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 blah. And he eventually had some of them come back to him and apologize and say, you know, that what they had said was harsh and it was wrong in the moment and that kind of stuff. My approach to him has always been to say, you know, those are your decisions to make. Here's some ideas that I would have on those things. But never in all of that, my buddy told me this, has he ever felt like anything that he was going to do in any way diminished my love for him. And it didn't. I kept telling him that, look, I'm for you. You know, and I love you, and I love your wife, and whatever I can do to assist in this situation, I'm happy to assist in this situation. But if this is the decision that you're going to make, fine. You know, I'm with you. Because I think what happens sometimes is, for instance, in this situation, when someone is going through a divorce and doesn't quite live up to our expectations of what he or she is supposed to be doing, then the easiest thing for us to do, because we want them to reinforce the life that we think they should lead, the easiest thing for us to do is to say, well, you know, forget it. You're doing the wrong thing. You know, when you start doing the right thing, let me know and we'll be good. And the idea of, and we are pulling in to check the mail. Don't roll down the window just yet. There we go. And my wife is going to be able to check the mail this time. Usually I have to do this all by myself. Anything?
I don't know.
Oh, hold it.
We need here, I've got a flashlight.
You got a little flashlight?
All right. Keys. That was just pulled open. One of
check in. Nope, nothing down there. Okay. And so...
Nothing in there.
Is it vacation today? It's the 31st, New Year's Eve.
Did you get the mail already
today? I did not get the mail already today. That's a little unusual.
Nobody loves us.
That's it.
I love you.
I love you too, sweetie. So, I feel like this idea of wanting and waiting, and this idea that you can have one of two ways to relate to people is really an important idea. I'm backing into my garage, so I'm going to turn around. And so those are kind of some of the things that I think I've learned this year. And frankly, it's been a good year. It really has been a... And the year is ending up really good. And so, looking forward, my wife just got out of the car. Because in the past, she's always had to do that so that she can... Because the garage was so full, I don't think she understands yet that she doesn't necessarily have to do that anymore because the garage isn't as full anymore. But that's okay. New habits. So anyways, yeah. Learning about the internet has been really great this year. Figuring out that I really should just be writing has been really great. Figuring out that I shouldn't be concerned about the fact that my influence as a writer is probably not going to be huge. That's just fine, too. Figuring out that I need to think about how my readers relate and what they would like and serve them more. And then also, primarily this year, I feel like the big, big thing I've learned is this idea of wanting and waiting. So I hope your year has been a good year. I sincerely hope 2012 will be a wonderful, wonderful year for you. And I am looking forward to 2012. And so I say to you, Happy New Year. And this is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.